This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Tonight is Wednesday, February the 12th in the year 2014 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Quite an event kind of going on right now. I think there's some really difficult weather because there's a nor'easter that's kind of blowing through. I got some emails earlier today from people I knew in Atlanta that's very icy, and oddly enough, we're having thunderstorms in Florida. And I'm saying that because our guest tonight in our virtual studio is to be Dr. Kenneth Bloom, and we haven't heard from him as of yet, and based off of the way he travels, I have a hunch that he might actually be stuck somewhere with regard to weather. So we're going to go through some announcements real quick, and hopefully he'll be dialing in. If not, we'll make some adjustments. One announcement is the ADHD Coaches Organization Conference is around the corner. It's going to be held this year in Phoenix, Arizona in early May. For our coaches out there, go to ADHDcoaches.org to find out more information on that. And if you are not a coach, that doesn't necessarily mean that you might find the conference of interest. You should actually kind of check it out. You can actually kind of go and learn and meet some coaches. And if you're thinking about coaching or you want to find the right coach, let me tell you, it's a great situation because there's a couple hundred of them there. If you're a mental health professional, we also encourage you to go to learn more about what we're doing. There's been many mental health professionals that have gone to that conference and really enjoyed the experience, learned a lot. And actually, we did a show last summer on with Dr. Charles Park on why add an ADHD coach to your treatment team, and we brought some really good points in that. It's not too early to start planning for the annual CHAD conference. You know, we are big CHAD fans. They're the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. They have an annual conference this year. I think it's in Chicago. It's in November. To learn more about that, go to chadd.org. And then also the annual ADDA conference, with the Attention Deficit Disorder Association conference, is actually this July in Orlando, just down the road from me. I'm kind of thrilled. I'll be presenting there the impact of ADHD on sports and exercise, which is one of my favorite presentations to do. Matter of fact, I think I'm doing it in a support group next week here in Tampa. But anyway, let's see. Do we have any other announcements? I think that's it for now. Again, tonight scheduled, the show scheduled for tonight was dopamine, the reward neurotransmitter and its role in ADHD with Dr. Kenneth Bloom. And we have not heard from him. This does happen on occasion, whether weather-related or whatever. And by the way, he did confirm with us. So what we're going to do is we're going to make a slight adjustment, and we're going to play a show that I had pre-taped called ADHD and Dyslexia, The Ugly, the Bad, and the Good with Deborah. This was a fascinating show and a fascinating experience for me. A lot of really cool things that Deborah's going to share. And if you dialed in or you came here listening, wanting to listen for the Kenneth Bloom, we will definitely reschedule that show for another time. But I guess let's kind of get into this. Deborah is a she's an individual with ADHD and dyslexia. She's going to remain anonymous. We're just going to use her first name, but I would like to thank her. She contacted us over Facebook originally, and we've kind of kept in contact. And I think you'll enjoy this. This was a great show for me personally to do, just because of my own dyslexia. But the discoveries that I made in work in talking to her with this, it's just really fascinating. So with that, let's roll the tape.
Everybody, tonight our topic is ADHD and dyslexia: the ugly, the bad, and the good with Deborah. Deborah is a Attention Talk Radio listener and originally reached out to us over Facebook. And here we're here today. She describes herself as having severe ADHD and dyslexia, and through emails and some conversations, she has had an interesting life experience, and I thought it would be useful to bring her on the show just to talk about her experience. So, Deborah, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jace. It's nice to be here.
Now, in getting ready for this, as somebody who struggles with reading a little bit, your last name, I wanted to announce it, and it was kind of clever when we started this up because I was like, how do you pronounce it? And you said, it's think of 2 plus 3. So it was funny because as your last name is pronounced 2 plus 3. No,
Duplessis. Yes, it was French a long time ago, and they always leave the last syllable off. And don't worry, everybody muddles it up. It's
let's cover. So can you actually spell it for everybody?
It's D, it's a small D, and then U, and then separate word, capital P-L-E-S-S-I-S. And it's pronounced Duplessis, not Duplessis.
And it's interesting because I'm highlighting that because tonight's show we're going to talk about Deborah and her ADD and her dyslexia. I myself have dyslexia, and it's funny that just to look at that and try to read it is like whoa. But the little trick that you had to do that is like it's a godsend for me because I would have hacked it all up and I didn't get it at the end, but it was relatively close. So anyway,
you did great,
Deborah. I guess kind of let's begin and say, you when you originally wrote me, you said you had severe ADD and dyslexia. Can you just kind of start there and just tell us, when you say severe, what does that mean to you?
That's correct. Basically, it had a huge impact on my life. Firstly, my reading is very bad. I read very slowly, and I stammer over words and... You would not like to hear me read aloud. My spelling is atrocious. I have absolutely no attention span. I have problems with my short-term memory. I have coordination problems. I do have some problems with face recognition. I have problems with motivation. And that's to name a few.
So again, slow reader, trouble spelling, you say no attention span, short memory, specifically face recognition, coordination, and motivation.
Yes.
Okay, so you say all that, but on the other side of it, that kind of paints kind of a gloomy picture, but you used to be a hairstylist, if I recall correctly, and at one time you were like hairstylist of the year?
Yes, when at college, I was in the last year of college. I was I won the award of hairstylist of the year, because I had some techniques to get around it, and I think in some ways that the problems I have actually gave me some little benefits that I didn't realize at the time. But as time has gone on, and I've realized what's actually going on. I can put everything together.
So, I'm curious, you said techniques. When you say techniques in the context of hairstyling, could you describe that?
Well, one of the things that I did was, because I knew that I couldn't read everything, so through the year I would, all the notes that I had to read to study for the exams, I would read a paragraph. And then I would say to myself, well, what is that paragraph actually saying? And I would then try and put that whole paragraph into one sentence. And so at the end of the year, I just had, like, all these one sentences to study. And that made it a lot easier. And, in fact, a lot of my friends ended up photostatting my short notes and learning from them as well. So... You know, that was one of the little techniques that I used.
It's interesting. I'm having a little aha right now because, as I've described, I have dyslexia myself, and I remember, I think I've told this on the show before, I remember in college I was taking my first semester of sociology of sport, And I just could not keep up with the reading. I mean, social books, I mean, you have to write, read like a book a night. And I do know this, is that I used to read the first line of each. At first, one time, it was the first sentence of each paragraph, but if you read social books, they are very long sentences. So I shortened it to the first line. And if I had to describe it, I would just read the first line of each paragraph and kind of go through and try to put together what I thought that they were paying attention to. So I'd have to say, I don't feel like I read the words, but I was trying to understand the context of what was going on or what the message was so that I could figure out the detailed answers. And I would go to class and take notes and remember that stuff. But the way you described, you'd read a paragraph and you'd write down in a sentence. I don't know if you mean this, but I know on my side, I feel like I was trying to maybe summarize what the paragraph would be saying, what the message was.
That's absolutely correct. Yes, that's absolutely correct. I was just trying to find the meaning of the paragraph and put it in as few words as possible.
It's interesting because I'm doing a lot of work outside the radio show on some other things, and this it's related to attention. And if you listen to the show over the years, I always say we pay attention to attention. And as I describe that, I lost my train of thought. Where was I? When you pay attention to what's kind of going on, I know. We were taping some shows, and we had Rob Tedisco on not that long ago about schools and IEP plans and stuff like that. It was funny because the gist of the show, what I was trying to get across was that there's conflict in that space, and parents think that the schools should be doing certain things, but if you pay attention to what the people in the schools are being forced to pay attention to, they would like to do what the parents would want, but in the end of the day, they're being forced to pay attention to something else, so there's this kind of conflict. And it's interesting, as I think and put together those shows, I usually am trying to focus on what people are paying attention to as a result of why things are what they are. I don't know if I articulated that very well,
mm-hmm.
but does that make sense to you, Deborah?
I don't know if the last bit, I quite got what you meant in the last little, I followed you all the way up until the last sentence.
Can you just repeat
yourself on that.
I guess I was trying to describe is I think in terms of what people are paying attention to as a concept, not necessarily the words. Because if I get the concept, I can figure out the words, but I can't remember all the words.
Exactly as I am.
And so it's funny, as everybody out there, I call myself an attention coach because at the end of the day, that's what I think as coaches do, is really they're coaching your attention. And when you understand what it is, you can actually understand a little bit more how it works. So anyway.
And anyway, if you think about it, it's not the words that really count. It's the meaning.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So you had some techniques. I like your notes thing. These days you use a text-to-speech software for reading books?
Yes, I do. And in fact, I've used it for the last 3 years. It was out well before, you know, all these iPad text-to-speech readers and everything. It's called Natural Reader.
Uh-huh.
And it's been my old faithful for quite a number of years now, and it has progressed my life so much. I've looked for other ones, and somehow I don't know if it's just I couldn't find them properly, but I haven't found another one like that.
Mm. But
and this one you can use on PC. Well, that's what I use it on my PC.
Mm-hmm. So the notion here is, at first we started talking about what severe is, and you listed off a whole bunch of stuff, and kind of walking through and you know, reading very slowly, so the text-to-speech software helps, right?
Oh, it's amazing. Because also, when I read that slowly, I've got to – and now think about it, I have a double whammy, because I not only do I have the dyslexia, but I can't focus either because of the attention deficit. So when you have dyslexia, you've got to focus on the reading a lot more. So, I mean, it is a double whammy for me.
Yep.
So just being able to highlight these words and then – press a little button, and for it to read it to me, it frees up my mind to take in the information that I'm trying to take in. Whereas if I was having to read it, I would have to be focusing a lot of my attention on actually just reading it.
Yep.
So, you know, that makes a huge, huge difference.
Excellent. Well, everybody, one of the things I want to line up here, she said difficulty reading, so she uses the text-to-speech software. But you also said spelling, right? You struggle with that?
Oh, yeah.
Now,
Oh, my gosh.
In getting ready for this, you know, I have my own problems too, but in getting ready for this, we had had a conversation, and you said something I thought was very clever that just really blows me away, is for spelling, sometimes you use Google search.
Yes, that's what I use most of the time. I find that the spell checks, most of the time they can't tell what I'm spelling. So I stick the word into Google search, and it usually very politely comes up with, did you mean such and such? And occasionally, if it doesn't get it, then I'll try and put that word in a sort of familiar sentence that that word would normally go into. And then I'd say 95% of the time, Google search will say, is this what you're trying to say? And I've got the spelling there, and then I just copy and paste the word into, you know, my email or wherever I'm trying to use it.
And so what really stands out to me, Deborah, about this is using Google search would not be an obvious solution for somebody who's got a spelling problem. Matter of fact, it blew me away that when you told me, I've gone and tried it a couple times, and everybody, I tell you, it works. But what's interesting is how did you have the insight? I mean, how did it come about for you to say, listen, you're using Google search as a kind of a spell check and it works. How did that come about?
Well, you know, when you have a problem that is as severe as mine, you know, it's a desperate situation. So you have to find ways to get around it. And I think it's also because I have the kind of mind that is shooting all over the place. I almost, in some ways, feel like my mind is too big for my head, and it's all over the place. So, you know, and that's, I think that might be a problem. One of the problems with my short-term memory is that I kind of, my mind is flicking so many, you know, to so many different things at once that I forget what I'm supposed to do.
Uh-huh. Well, what's interesting, and I need to run to a break for a second, but I asked you the question specifically because I hear spelling and using Google search, that's such an unobvious solution that now that you've told me and I've tried it, makes a lot of sense. You talk about the challenges, and all of that, what pops into my head is, you know, the mother of necessity. You've got to figure out a way to do it. So you're looking, maybe observing or seeing things that other people don't see, and you stumble into Google search one time and realizes it works, and all of a sudden you got something, right?
That's correct. I mean, that was a huge one for me.
That is. I tell you what, let's go to a break real quick. When we come back, I want to, there's some other cool things that you do I want to kind of highlight. So everybody with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Breaking news. Chad introduces the new digital edition of Attention Magazine, starting with the August issue and continuing with each bi-monthly issue. The digital edition is available for easy reading on www.chad.org. Through collaborative leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support, Chad and Attention Magazine work to provide science-based information about ADHD to parents, educators, and professionals who treat the disorder, the media, and the general public. When you advertise in Attention Magazine, your advertisement that includes a website address will automatically have a link to your website. There is no additional fee for your digital edition advertisement. It's free.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Deborah. And we were talking about ADHD and dyslexia, the ugly, the bad, and the good with Deborah. Remind everybody, Deborah's she's listened to many Attention Talk Radio shows and reached out to us. It was kind of cool in this dialogue, basically, our going back and forth. I said, hey, this would really kind of make a great show. And Deborah, before the break, we were kind of talking about some of the challenges that you noticed, and we've been kind of walking through some stuff on kind of how you've gotten past it or found some really cool things. And in our conversation in getting ready for this, I was asking you kind of what are you good at, and you talked about there was two contexts. One is you're really good at seeing the big picture, and you described to me is that sometimes when you're with really highly educated, smart people, you can kind of see things or get answers that they can't. At least I think that's what you described to me. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's correct. I'll find that, you know, things like I'll be watching a news story and with other people that, you know, are really, you know, smart people. They've been to college, university, and, you know, really quite smart people. And I will just know in my head that whatever thing they're talking about on the TV, that it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll actually mention it, and everybody, nobody else, you know, they can't see it the same as I can. And then you'll find, you know, a few weeks down the line, exactly what I said will actually happen. I sound like I'm boasting now, but, you know, this is one of the little gifts that I seem to have. And I can just see the bigger picture of, you know, what's going on.
Yep.
And I can get an overall, it's almost like I get a sense.
Uh-huh. Well, in one of the emails going back and forth, you described is like sometimes you just got so many ideas going around your head, but sometimes they're able to kind of come together and you do some stuff. And I'd like to, you know, reference before the break, the notion of using Google search as spell check is, to me, kind of representative of, you know, just an idea that kind of comes in and it kind of works. And the other notion of when you read a paragraph to try to, you know, get the essence of it down, that it seems to me that when you're looking at the world and you are seeing things a little differently.
That's correct. I think very differently. It's hard for me to tell because I've never been like anybody else. I only am who I am. But I've had to adapt to survive.
Uh huh. Now, this when you were describing a second ago, you used the word gifts, and
yes.
There's a big debate out there in the ADHD community. Some people think ADHD is a gift, and then you've got other researchers that are saying you got to be absolutely crazy. This isn't a gift, and they're citing some really good. You can't say it's a gift and ask for accommodations. And one of the things to me is. I don't know if it's a gift or not, but it seems to me that if you lost your eyesight, you'd have to rely more on your ears and your other senses, and you might have, because you're using them more, you might develop them a little bit more. Do you think that that's maybe an accurate description of the situation because of some of the challenges you've had to figure out clever ways, or actually individually, do you see some of this as a little bit of a gift in these areas?
I think both. I think that well, with having what I have, I think that that I was just born with a totally different mind, very very creative, very thinking out of the box. I just innately am just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of living in a sort of hostile environment, even though no one was mean to me or anything, but just living in an environment that didn't work with my brain, I had to become a lot more astute to certain things around me. And I had to find coping techniques and methods.
And that's one of the things that I think that really struck me, Deborah, is that you list the challenges and some of the things that you need to get around, and I was kind of really hoping that the show could illuminate some of those. We also talked before this came on about, I guess, when you and I were talking to kind of get ready things, the notion of using pictures as a means to kind of prompt you. Can you describe what that that a little bit?
That's a pretty new one, and in fact, I'm using it to the full benefit now with you. I have found that even when I'm searching for things on the internet, I'll type in the sentence and then I'll click on the images because I can much faster, it doesn't always work, but a lot of the time I can much faster see where I want to go just by the images. And like in the interview now, I actually have to read something, I actually have to focus on it, and then I lose my train of thought. So what I've actually done is, just certain parts of my life to remind me of them so I don't forget anything, I've actually typed in the relevant words into Google search, found and gone to the images, and then looked for pictures that would remind me of what I need to say. And then I took... You don't have to do this, but I took it into a photography editing program called Lightroom, made it into a collage, and I have both. I have it on my computer. I've also printed it out, so I have the pages out here, so I can just automatically, because I kind of read pictures much better than I read words.
So... I don't know if you're doing that right, but all of a sudden, as you describe that, I have a picture. Is you think of people getting up in front of other people, give a presentation, a talk, and you've got your little notes, your little cue cards that you look at, and they might write out a sentence to prompt you or something like that. Would it be fair to say that if you had to do something like that, your cue cards wouldn't be words. You would just actually have a picture that would represent something that you would be able to look at the picture and remind you what you wanted to say at that point in time?
That's correct, because it would take too much of my focus off what I was having to say to the people to actually find what I'd written down in the short note and read it. So I've used this twice now, and it's been incredibly effective.
What I love, Deborah, is we're sitting here talking about some the severe challenges you've had, but all the clever little things that you figured to kind of move you forward. And what I really like is it's based on who you are, because we just talked about the picture prompts, but you've actually gotten into photography and you've really taken to it recently. Is that right?
That's correct. I've been studying it for about, well, I got my first SLR about 4 years ago. And I've been studying it, and I'm slowly starting to put together a little business for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lady working on my website. It should be up in the next month or so. And, it's wonderful. I'm really enjoying it. I love it because it's so creative, and that's what I love.
What I'm hearing, though, is it's so creative and love, but the visual stuff is easier for you. Because, like, think about the words on a card. If you've got to read that, you've got to tie up so much thinking about it, you can't get your point. Whereas if you see the picture, I'm not going to say you think in pictures, but it prompts you, it makes it easier. It sounds to me that the photography might, the visual side, is just a more natural attraction.
I think so, yes. I think so. And... It may actually be a little benefit now that I've decided I'm going to use more pictures than words.
Interesting. So, again, everybody, what I love is that these solutions are not necessarily obvious, but she's figuring it out based off of herself. see, Deborah. It was the another thing that you had said that was interesting to me. When you're around the house and you need to kind of keep it picked up and cleaned and stuff like that, the notion of putting something out in the middle of the floor where it doesn't belong would serve as a way for you to remember something.
That's correct. In fact, that's one of the only ways that I remember what I have to do is by actually sticking it. I try to keep my house really tidy. And then if I stick something out in the middle of the way, I will see it. As soon as I walk past, I'll see it so I can get it done. And that helps me a lot.
Now, when you stick those things that are out of place, it's a reminder to do something about that item, possibly. But sometimes do you do that so it will remind you of an association of something that's not there? So, like, I'll leave a plate upside. I'm just making something up on the cupboard. And if I see that, then I know I'm supposed to make a phone call to somebody. Or is that going?
Well, I haven't done anything like that. But what I do is little things like putting stars on my hand with pen and writing things on my hand, putting my watch on the other arm, things that feel a little uncomfortable. And then you kind of think, okay, well, why is this like this? And then it'll suddenly trigger your mind.
Uh-huh.
But I might try and put a plate upside down. That's a good idea.
Interesting. Another thing that you talked about, and we didn't speak about this, I know you said you had difficulty sometimes with face recognition. Have you figured out of a trick to help you manage that, or is that still just a challenge?
When I know the person pretty well, it's fine. But if it's like somebody that I like, when I was a hairstylist, and the client would come back, I'd find it very difficult to recognize the face. As soon as she opened her mouth and she started talking, I knew the conversation. So the auditory side was great. With that, I still struggle about with that, and it's still sort of going through my mind, and I keep thinking of different ways that I can get around that. And I know that one day I'll be wherever and I'll suddenly think, oh, you know what? What if I try that?
Yep.
And I have to quickly write it down, otherwise I'll forget about it. That's what I find with my brain is that I constantly, I don't have to put it on my cell phone as like, voice recording, or I have to stick it on a piece of paper because otherwise it's gone.
Yep. Well, I'll share this with you, and I don't know, maybe we hadn't talked about this, but my neighbor is a gynecologist and delivers babies.
Yeah.
And one time, my kids were younger, and we were Cub Scouts, and we went to this parade type stuff, and I'm kind of walking with them, and everybody's like, hi, Dr. So-and-so, hi, Dr. So-and-so. And it was funny because there were these women and stuff, and I looked over and I said, you don't know who any of these people are, because, no, I can't remember. And it was funny, he said, you know, when you deliver somebody's baby, they remember you. It's a huge event in your life. But when you deliver, you know, dozens of babies every day over a couple of years, you just kind of can't remember it. And I said, well, you're doing a real good job. Hey, you're... what are you doing? He goes, well, I think in terms of pronouns, I'll speak to people in such a way that's kind of generic about what's going on, but, I stay away from specific names and stuff because that can get me in trouble.
Yeah,
and I say
that's
that
correct.
It's funny because it cracks me up. Literally, I'm walking around like, you don't know who I am. I'm like, no, I don't have a clue. I said, well, you're doing a real good job with it. So I want to need to go to a break in a minute, but before we do, I have another question for you.
Sure.
We originally started dialogue on Facebook, kind of direct message, and you started explaining to me a lot about, you know, your situation, and clearly everybody, we've had this conversation. What's motivated you to want to talk about it?
It's basically because, well, at school and that, I would try and hide everything because I just picked up the impression from people around me that it was something to be very embarrassed about and shameful, and so for many years I actually tried to hide all of this, and then it got to a stage where the pressure of trying to hold it all back was so severe that I thought to myself, well, you know, what would it be like if I just opened up and started telling people? So I slowly started to tell people a bit more and a bit more, and sometimes I got bad responses, But, you know, I just feel that I would like to be who I am and just to be a normal without having to put on an act all the time. And also for the fact that I would like to help other dyslexic children, because I know when they're little like that, that they don't have the words to explain what's going on in their head. And I think that if the parents understand how they feel and what's going on in their head, the parents will be able to help them a lot more. And they also won't go quite through the amount of suffering that myself and I'm sure a lot of other people have gone through.
Got it. Well, I can't help but I was interviewing Rob Tedisco one time, and he mentioned and I was talking to him about kids in school systems, and his advice to parents is you know, a lot of parents want to keep ADD under wraps around their kids, and he said, you know, secrecy. Hang on, where's the quote? I actually got my hands on it. Secrecy breeds shame, and you start to hide it and
That's
kind of
correct.
Cover up. And you don't necessarily acknowledge it. You need to learn to advocate for yourself and really kind of put some of those things in. So I kind of hear where you're coming from that. The other thing, too, is I've said before, to me, pressure inhibits performance. And when you think about sports, the defense's job is to put pressure on the offense. And the reason they do that is it inhibits performance. If not, they wouldn't necessarily do that. So when you feel a lot of pressure, it can really kind of keep you down. And if you're expressing it, you're relieving some of that pressure there. But I do have a question, Deborah.
Can I say something quickly that
yes.
I think is so, so important? When I was a little girl, I went to many psychologists and that, and the psychologist would take my parents into the room, and I would sit outside, and they would talk about me. And that was the worst experience I ever had, because I thought to myself, well, I must have something so terrible that I'm not allowed to hear about it. And when my parents came out and said, no, you're smart and all this, I didn't believe a word they said. And just with my own son, I'm quite happy. I mean, my son has ADD, and I couldn't believe it, but his Xbox sign-in name was ADD Kid. And
wow.
I just think that's amazing, because it shows that he's almost proud of who he is, and,
yep.
and I take that as a very positive thing that has happened.
Got it. And I think that's a very good point, that personal experience of sitting outside, I think a lot of people can identify it. But I have been listening to you on this, and I got a question for you. Are you talking about it now just because you want to take the pressure off and stuff, but is talking about it actually helping you maybe figure out how you can just adjust your life and your environment and figure out things that you can do to help you thrive? Is that part of it?
Yeah, it is. Most definitely. It's therapeutic to talk about it. And you know,
well,
I
guess I'm asking, there's a therapeutic side of it, but is there another side of it as you talk about it, just the talking about it actually helps you kind of uncover things that you haven't seen or solutions or ideas that are helping you?
Well, yes, because when I'm talking about it, my brain is thinking all the time, and I'm wondering about alternative ways to get around some of the problems.
We did an interview with Dr. Barkley on the ADD side about a year ago, well, actually in March of 2012, and he talked about his EFDD construct. And what was interesting to me is the way he discussed externalizing information or play. And Deborah, I asked that question because more of those that I talk to with ADHD, if they talk about it, they're externalizing it, and it actually kind of helps them think and problem solve many times. So I just kind of highlight that because I thought that was kind of fascinating. So we need to go to break real quick. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about motivation and some recent experiences that you have in terms of focusing. So if you'll just bear with us, everybody, we're going to run to a commercial break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm having a great conversation here with Deborah, who I'm finding is exceptionally bright and very clever with some of the things that she's been doing. Deborah, before the break, I want to come back and talk to you about attention and motivation for a second. And when you think of ADD, is it an attention issue for you?
It's an attention issue, but it's also a motivation issue. They both, what I've found recently is that, it's both of those. And I think a lot of people don't realize the motivation side as much as the attention.
It's interesting. I throw this out there because I've referenced this many times in the show, but I really like Dr. Barkley, VFDDD, because he talks about ADD in the context it's not an attention issue, it's a self-regulation issue. And attention and emotions are things that you need to regulate. And in that context, it's interesting to me because you and I haven't had a conversation, but we talked about the pictures that you're using, maybe as outlines and the photography. I would surmise maybe that you always pay attention to pictures and stuff out there, but you might not be able to pay attention to other types of things. In other words, the things that are easy for you, you always pay attention to, and things that aren't. So that motivational issue sometimes is not maybe a motivational issue. It's how do you stimulate your brain or do something that is just boring or more difficult for you. Does that make any sense to you?
It does, and I think I've struggled with that for years without even really knowing what it was. But Jeff, quite honestly, I find that what I think is going on is that the dopamine in my body is very, very low, and it's almost like a fuel for motivation.
Yep.
And sorry.
Did you listen to our show on what does dopamine feel like?
I think I did, actually. I think when I was at the gym and I had to have something else to listen to, otherwise I wouldn't run around the track at the top. I was listening to that.
Interesting, everybody. But
you reminded me of that.
And I forgot about that story. You struggle to exercise, but you found ways to do it. If you're at the gym or whatever, if you're watching a movie or listening to something, it enables you to I think, as you said, it gives your mind a place to rest, and that way you can exercise.
Yes, and in fact, I've started at our gym. We have like a little movie theater, and I find as long as I have something to rest my mind on, I'm okay. But if I just have to sort of go on the treadmill or something, and I've got nothing to look at, I feel like I would rather slit my wrists. I just can't do it otherwise. But when I have something to focus on, then I actually start enjoying the running or the elliptical or whatever.
Yeah, so it's interesting because you said if I have something to look at, those were your words. And all I can think of is a coach. My coaching mind goes, it sounds to me like you can always pay attention to things that you're looking at, and if you combine that with things that are more challenging, like exercise on its own might be difficult, but if you put it in a position where you've got something to look at, or focus on, then you're able to do it.
Well, I've realized that I have to keep my mind busy on something while I'm exercising.
Okay, got it. So a second ago you were talking about low levels of dopamine, and recently have you just recently started taking meds, or you want to just talk about your treatment and the people that are involved with that a little bit?
Yes, well, I actually it's a long story, but I decided that I would like to find out whether any of the meds would help me because I seem to have a lot of issues,
uh-huh.
and they seem to help. And then as I've listened a lot to your show, I was very impressed by Dr. Parker.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to actually make an appointment with him, and I traveled all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina, to Virginia to go and see him, and I was absolutely amazed. I mean, I must have filled in about 30 pages where he was asking questions, right down to my parents' childhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got in there, I just have to tell you, I haven't told you this before, but the one thing that was absolutely amazing with him was he said, I'm not going to force you to take any medication you don't want to take, which is like a breath of fresh air to me. And he started telling me how the medications worked and that and what to look out for. So I started going within my own mind and feeling what I felt. The difference between taking the medication and not taking the medication. And basically, one morning I was out walking the dogs, and I normally take my medication at a certain time. By the time I walk the dogs, I'm feeling great and like I want to, you know, get on with the rest of my life and do everything I need to do. But this particular day, I was just feeling awful, and I realized that I hadn't taken my medication, and I looked into what it actually felt like. And it's basically, I think it's because the dopamine is low and it's like a fuel, but it's basically, it's like trying to run a marathon through heavy, thick mud, and it's almost like an emotional pain, you know, to move
mm-hmm.
those limbs and get done what you have to get done. And
mm-hmm.
then you have all kinds of guilt because you're not getting done what you have to get done. And to somebody who doesn't know what's going on, that actually feels like depression.
Wow. You made a comment a second ago, within my own mind.
Yes.
If I said you were making observations of what was going on within your own mind, would that be an accurate statement?
That's correct.
So in the mental health field, they have something called metacognition. That's thinking about what you're thinking. Do you think that's what you were doing?
Yes. But I wasn't even thinking. It's how I felt. You know, it was, I just, you know, it's like you are stuck. You're tied up and you just can't do these things. I mean,
yep.
So many people just think that you're lazy, but it's actually emotionally, it's just painful.
Yep.
It's like trying to push a car that has
yep.
no gas when
yep.
you should be driving it.
And so when you were noticing that, did that, in working with Dr. Parker, did that help you determine what medications might work or help, or can you just speak to that a little bit?
Well, he'd already put me on a really good medication,
mm-hmm.
But what it does help is for me to realize when that medication is working and when it's not working, because the attention deficit medication does not work like antidepressants where it's in your system all the time.
Uh-huh.
It only works for a certain period of time. And in order to get the dosage right, you have to know, you know, how you feel, how the medication makes you feel and what it's actually doing for you and when it's not working.
Wow. Wow. That's it's funny. I actually taped Attention Talk video show with Dr. Parker, and the topic is how do you know when your ADHD meds are working? And I have to everybody go out there and go look for that. I don't want to tip the hat to it. But he talked about his side, coaching side, and we kind of talked a little bit about what Depper's doing in terms of making those observations. So everybody go to attentiontalkvideo.com, look for how do you know if your ADHD meds are working, and enjoy that show. So, Deborah, it's been interesting having a conversation with me because we started talking at the top about top of the show about difficulty reading and spelling and attention span and motivation, all that kind of stuff. And since that time, it's been amazing to me some of the little clever things. I mean, certainly the text-to-speech is something that's out there, but the Google search, I thought that was really kind of different and unique. The pictures as outlines to kind of walk your way through it. As I listen to some of that stuff, what I'm hearing is I got somebody who's really bright and intelligent here.
Thank
you. Is that
how
you feel?
I do, but for the longest time, I didn't feel bright and intelligent, and I also didn't trust my own intuition because, you know, whatever I had done and tried to produce in the past had sort of was never quite good enough.
So that was the past. I'm sensing, though, that things have changed a little bit. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but, I mean, when we've talked together, I have to tell you, you talk a little bit with confidence and some focus.
Well, that's correct. As I've been able to read more with the readers and as I've sort of plucked up the courage to face, you know, my difficulties and my problems straight on, and no matter what the consequences are, it's kind of boosted my confidence, and it's made me feel a lot better.
Awesome. We need to wrap some things up, but before we go, do you have any last comments or words of wisdom or something you'd like to share that we haven't covered?
I just, you know, the other thing that I'd found is that I don't know if other people feel like this, but, you know, with to find out whether you're focused or not, I still sometimes have trouble realizing whether I'm focused or not. The only way I can really tell is when I've taken the dog to dog training and there are 10 people ahead of me and they all have to do the same thing as me, and when it gets to me and my dog, I have no idea what to do. It's not something that I can tell myself, oh, yes, I'm focused or I'm not focused. And the other thing that was quite unusual that's happened since I've been on the medication is that I always used to be a very, very nervous driver. And I didn't know why. And now I realize it was because I wasn't able to focus, so I had to pay very special attention to everything. And those are two of the things that have changed for me.
So when you start, you were a very nervous driver before because I'm guessing the anxiety of everything that's kind of going on, but since you've taken the meds, it's helped?
Yes, it has. I'm now totally relaxed and calm and...
wow.
Whereas before, and yet it's not something that I could have said before. It's because I knew that I had to pay attention. Somehow I feel like I don't have to pay attention as much anymore, and yet I'm sure I'm paying attention, but it's just coming more naturally.
Wow. Awesome. Well, Deborah, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been an absolute blast, and everybody, We hope that you got a little bit of a sense of what it's like from her perspective. We hope that this will get you thinking. You know, there's lots of solutions out there for a lot of people for different types of situations that aren't necessarily so obvious. But if you're clever and you just kind of be patient and kind of talk, and you can figure some really kind of cool things out, as Deborah has. And Deborah, I'd like to personally thank you for being a listener of Attention Talk Radio.
I love it. I wouldn't miss it.
It means a lot to us, and everybody else out there is, you know, I can't respond to everybody, but, you know, it's amazing when you reach out, some of the things that's going on, and who knows, if you've got an interesting situation, a good idea, let me know, we might have you on the show. So, Deborah, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Jeff. I enjoyed it.
All right, everybody, take care, and catch us for the next edition of Attention Talk Radio. Bye-bye.
Bye.